Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. With me is Coyote Moon, owner and handler of Banner, the superhero service dog. Coyote, how are you today?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. So I wanted to bring you on the show because you have some visibility in a lot of circles in the service dog world, and you've had some particular challenges, especially since you attend cons and you take Banner in cosplay. So I'd like to discuss a little about just some of the access issues you've had and some of the challenge you've faced because you choose, when you go to a convention, to dress your dog up with you. First, let's talk a little bit about Banner. Banner is a fairly unique service animal.
She is an oddball.
And one of the unique things about her is that she's a Siberian Husky.
Yes.
And what can you tell me about some of the challenges of training a Siberian Husky, or by extension, any snow dog?
Well, it's a breed I've worked with before, and I knew I had to address her recall very early on, as well as all her off-leash work. Mm-hmm. And I knew if I could train her that I would probably never have a better service dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dedication.
She's a full partner.
Yeah. The dedication snow dog show is amazing. As you know, my service dog Skeeter is an Alaskan Malamute, and there are a lot of the same issues with the two breeds.
Yes. Yeah, so you had to deal with the prey drive and the running around crazy like we do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely. Prey drive's a tough one depending on the situation. When he's on leash, prey drive is pretty easy to control. When he's off leash, I better have my truck close by to be able to chase him down. So
I raised Banner with kittens.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped a lot.
Yeah. You do a lot of animal rescue work.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little about that?
Where I live, it's extremely rural, and people dump dogs away, kittens in boxes, and they just come out here, and they all end up coming to me.
Hmm. How many kittens do you have around the house at this moment?
Right now, I have 5 2-week-old babies and a very wild, feral mama cat in my house.
Oh, wow. And how's Banner dealing with that?
Banner likes the babies.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes and sticks her nose in their little bed. When they get bigger, she'll play with them.
Yeah. So, tell me a little bit about the cosplay you and Banner do.
I always wanted to do cosplay. I like superheroes, and I like the ones that really get a lot of attention. So, when Banner got to where she was comfortable putting stuff on her face, because we desensitized her to all manner of costuming. Mm-hmm. And Deadpool's always been a character that stood out to me because he has PTSD. Mm-hmm. So I related to him a lot. So when he got his own move, I wanted to make her Dogpool to go with it. And it just kind of grew from there. I just choose whatever comes to mind, and we dress up and we do photos. It's relaxing to me to take pictures of her playing around.
And some of the costumes you've done have picked up some notice. I saw that Michael Rooker picked up one of your photos.
Oh, I love Michael, my favorite actor. I actually met him in 2016, the first time, and had a panic attack when I met him. And he held my shoulders and talked to me until I could breathe again.
Mm.
So doing Yondu for him was very special.
That's probably one of my favorite photos of Banner. But yes. You have received a lot of criticism for doing cosplay.
Oh, yes. People think it makes her unprofessional. And I don't care what anyone thinks about me. I do this for myself to have fun. Mm-hmm. But people get mad that I'll use the horse chalk to color her different colors or pet paint. It's organic. I mean, she could eat it if she wanted to. Mm-hmm. And it washes out quicker. And they'll say that it's, well, like I said, unprofessional. They want her in a vest or in a mobility thing. And to be honest, when we're working a convention, those costumes are more comfortable and breathable than her actual gear because it gets so heavy in there. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. She can be naked and she's still on duty.
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely agree. I trained Skeeter without a vest for the first 5 years. And in fact, the only reason I decided to start using a vest was because of a bad experience at a festival with people just mobbing him to come pet him and not letting him work.
If I would have, she was going to get so much attention because of blue eyes, probably would have. Well, I wanted a darker eye anyway out of a preference. So I ended up with her and she's perfect. So no complaints there. Mm-hmm. But people automatically assume a dog in public is free range petting.
Right, right, and nothing.
But I'm scary looking, so they leave me alone usually.
You'd think they'd leave a big burly veteran with a full beard alone too, but it doesn't work that way.
I did find out putting cuss words on her patch makes them leave me alone better.
Really? That's interesting. I don't know if I'll pursue that or not.
I'd rather get a disapproving look
than getting mobbed. Yeah. You do a lot of artwork, and you have done a children's book. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, a lot of mental disabilities aren't explained, and children don't get it. They're just not told about it, and they don't know that just because someone doesn't physically look okay doesn't mean that they are okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I have three kids who understand if I'm having a meltdown, my kids actually, they do their own thing. They just give me space and let me come down from it. But that's because they're used to it. They know what it is. Mm-hmm. So I thought making a book and trying to educate as clearly as I could that if someone's sitting somewhere looking down, that they'll be all right, but it's because of something in their head. It's a little hard to articulate.
Yeah.
But I worked with my oldest and my youngest child to describe PTSD in a way that children could understand it. Mm-hmm. Because it does not have there's not a lot of education about there. People assume that you can only have PTSD if you are a veteran.
Yeah.
They don't seem to understand that of any kind can cause PTSD.
Yeah, that's a frustration I run into in my work is that there are a lot of veterans who think that only veterans get it. There are a lot of people who are non-veterans who think that only veterans can get PTSD. And it's one of the things I find myself repeating over and over is it's a human condition. It's not a veteran condition. It's not any one type of person condition. Anybody can get it. Some people don't react to stress and trauma the same way as others. Some people don't get PTSD, and that's wonderful. But some people do, and for some of those people, it's disabling. And
yes.
Working with a PTSD service dog, I've been working really hard to try to come up with the best illustration I can for how a PTSD service dog helps a sufferer. And the best illustration I can come up with is that a PTSD service dog is a psychological prosthetic. The dog fills in the gaps in the brain where, for whatever reasons, the trauma caused PTSD and rewired our brains so that they have a connection directly to the fight or flight response system. And the dog provides the filtration in our brains that used to be there before we were exposed to traumatic events that caused PTSD. What are your thoughts on how to best to describe it?
I love the imagery that you've painted, and it's perfect for what they do. I've always described it as she's my anchor to reality because I forget where I am or when I am. And it's just like you said, fits right in there and reminds you what really is going on. This is real. That's over.
Mm-hmm. So just out of curiosity, because I also use a northern breed, what are some of the tasks that Banner is trained to perform for you?
She alerts to migraines about 30, 20 minutes before I get one, enough that I can take medicine and sometimes prevent one. As guide work, I have a metal femur that causes my leg to drag. Mm-hmm. She alerts to anxiety and PTSD episodes. She does body blocking. I can feel claustrophobic if I'm in too bad of a, if people are too close up on me, and she keeps them from overcrowding me. Mm-hmm. Also, if I start to disassociate, she will remove me from a situation and mm-hmm. take me to a corner or a door to get away. Mm-hmm. And she also does blood pressure alerts, and she'll bring me my medicine. Mm-hmm. If I can't get up and go get it, she will bring it to me.
That must have been challenging to train. Skeeter does not retrieve. It's not going to happen.
She was not mouthy, and I had to work with her. We started with the hold command and went from there. She's gotten really good at holding things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We started painting recently, and I'm teaching her more to move while holding.
And have you gotten any criticism because you use a Siberian Husky as a service dog?
In the beginning, I got a lot of hate mail that Huskies couldn't be a service dog. I chose her for attention purposes. Huskies are too stubborn to train. I faced a lot of hate, but I'm meaner than they are, and eventually they backed off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's evident when you watch video of you working with Banner, which you've posted a couple of action videos of you two working, and she's very focused. She's very well behaved. I mean, and again, I trained an Alaskan Malamute, and I got a lot of the same pushback. You can't train a Malamute to do what you need it to do, and I proved them all wrong. But the second half of that question is, if somebody's looking for a service dog and they say, I want a dog just like Banner, what would you tell them?
I always tell them I don't recommend a northern breed unless they have experience working with them. And I tell them all the bad qualities, because most people wanting a northern breed just want a wolfy dog.
Yeah. And I grew up in Alaska. I grew up mushing huskies and malamutes, which is where I got my experience with the animals. One of the things, I worked with a trainer with Skeeter for a little while. One of the things he taught me was that in order to get a malamute to do what you need it to do, you have to convince it it's their idea.
That's true. Banner, she didn't respect me, and I had to get her respect before she would ever listen to me.
How old was she when you got her?
8 weeks. Okay.
I think that's really important, too, starting very young when you're training, especially a PTSD service dog. That puppy has to grow with you. To build the bond, to build that connection between handler and dog. Because all their tasks relating to things like panic attacks, anxiety, grounding you, those tasks are rooted in that dog picking up what's going on in your head. And if they aren't able to spend years of time with you, they don't know what's happening.
Exactly. I keep telling people that a lot of people want to try rescuing, but you can't get a five-year-old dog and expect it to change and learn from you the way a puppy would absorb mm-hmm. what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, I notice you do some board and train work. Can you tell me a little about that?
I volunteer my time to help people who need it. I do not make enough money to pay my bills, and I don't get paid to do any of my training. Mm-hmm. But and there are people who need help like I do. And where I live, I can usually find a dog that will work for them. Mm-hmm. Found Aegon the Akita for his handler. And I socialized him here mostly. I was afraid to do too much hands-on work because Akitas bond with one person, and right. That's their person.
Right.
And he's amazing right now with his actual handler. Mm-hmm. And right now I have Tamina, a Great Dane, Great Pyrenees mix, who's going to someone in Tennessee in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. And she body blocks naturally. Mm-hmm. So Oh, I'm shaping that and working on obedience with her until she could be picked up.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting the dog started for a short period of time, but you're also going out of your way to make sure that they get with their prospective handlers as quickly as possible.
I believe it's important for the bonding, like you said earlier.
Yeah, it's a challenge, especially in the PTSD service dog world, and specifically in the veteran world. A lot of the agencies that are available to provide service dogs for veterans for PTSD give them, quote-unquote, fully trained service dogs. The problem with that is PTSD manifests itself very specifically for each individual who suffers from it. And you can't really generically train tasking for that variety of people. There's no one set list of, you know, these eight things or what a service dog can do to help with PTSD. Unlike, you know, a lot of mobility tasks, medication retrieval and things like that. Those can be fairly standard. But PTSD and other psychological disabilities, I think, are much more personally specific to each individual sufferer.
You're right. And I've always wondered how exactly they did that. In the beginning, I had looked at it. I was looking at organizations. I wasn't as educated as I am now. I didn't know owner training was an option. So I tried to put ourselves out there as, hey, we owner trained. We didn't use a professional, and yet she does what she's supposed to. It is possible if you have the experience to work on.
I find that most owner-trained handler dog teams are probably more focused, and the dogs are better behaved than a lot of the program dogs that I've run into.
I've only run into one program dog, and Banner was actually performing DPT on my leg at Dragon Con. And she had actually fallen asleep. So I'm on the floor against a wall out of the way, and she's on my leg. And this Cocker Spaniel puppy comes out of nowhere and just jumps on her face.
Mm. And this is a quote-unquote certified service animal.
Yeah, they flashed a badge at me, and I told them that registries weren't a real thing. And they said, well, we're working program, and I don't remember. I was mad, to be honest. And
well, I would be
I
too.
Tend to... I wasn't mad at the puppy, I was mad at the people.
That's, you know, and that's something that we're going to discuss after the break. You are listening to The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
There's a smell in the air today. No, it isn't those beans you had last night either. It's an explosion of napalm in the AM. And all natural soap only from KBarSoapCo.com. So start your day off as Lieutenant Colonel Kilgore does with the smell of napalm in the AM. Only from KBarSoapCo.com.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
That's KBarSoapCo.com.
Stay tuned to
WDVR
from
DVRadio.net.
We don't break the laws. We just make up our own.
Radio.
My name is David Libby.
And he proceeded to take the 30 joints and put them in people's shoes, backpacks, luggage, all that.
Welcome to Contraband. Our guest is Johnny Cornwall, Jeff Vicente, Chris Brother Latham. He's the band of Sosra, and I get to cackle on there every now and then.
Well, the guy that owns the Chinese food place, his name is Art.
DV Radio.
MyDVStore.com. Bidding will begin with item 69776. Can I get stickers, 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 stickers?
Yep.
I gotta get over your country decaf. Get over your country decaf. Who here a t-shirt? Anyone with a t-shirt? Yep. Let me get a picnic. Got a crazy bastard t-shirt.
Yep.
Now I got a mug, 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 mug. DB mugs, I got mugs. Let me hear DB farm coins with DB coins. DB farm coins with DB coins. Gone once, gone twice. Sold to my DBstore.com.
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net.
And welcome back to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog, right here on DV Radio, WDVR. We're here with Coyote Moon, owner and handler of Banner, the superhero service dog. And we want to talk a little bit about, because it's what's recognized in the media, I'm going to call it what it is not, the fake service dog problem. And I think, Coyote, you're in agreement with me. The dogs are not the problem.
It's the people who feel they are entitled to break the laws made to protect us and our medical equipment that are the problem.
Mm-hmm. So how many times has Banner been attacked?
I would say 11.
Wow.
I have scars on my hand from a boxer.
And,
but she was just from losing her eye, May, to a German Shepherd.
Really? That's horrible.
And it happened in front of security at a convention who saw it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they did nothing.
Really? And what was the people's excuse?
There was no excuse. They screamed at me and a friend of mine that was with me. It was both Banner and her service dog that were attacked. This dog came out of the elevator just full on raging. And it wore a vest that said ESA on it and had one of them little registry cards in a pocket.
Really? And just to be
clear, the guy wanted a prop costume.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to be clear, emotional support animals are not guaranteed access rights under the Americans with Disabilities Act. Service dogs are. ESAs are not. And I've seen a lot of pushback and a lot of back and forth. Well, I take my ESA everywhere and it's never been a problem. But it is a problem. And incidents like this are exactly why.
Well, I ended up physically removing the dog from Banner's face in a way I'm not really proud of, while the man screamed what a horrible person he was.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, if Banner has her eye ripped out, never works again, I'm out 3+ years of trip expenses, and my life is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think the horrible person is the one who's bringing an untrained dog that's not suited for public access work into places where it can attack a service dog. So let's talk a little bit about education. I know we both run Facebook pages that have a fair number of followers. My mission is to spread the truth, spread education, spread accurate information about service dogs, primarily for veterans with PTSD. There's a lot of confusion about it. There's a lot of misinformation and a lot of misunderstanding, especially from places that should know better, like the VA. What's your mission with the Banner the Superhero Service Dog page?
Originally, I made it as a training log to keep track of what all I was doing with her. Her memory is not the best. And I figured everyone on my friends list got tired of seeing pictures of just Banner doing the same things over and over again. And it grew. I started pushing my foot forward that under-trained dogs are just as good as program dogs. Mm-hmm. Any breed could be a service dog, but not every dog can be a service dog.
Absolutely.
I ended up using the cosplay option to reach younger crowds and different crowds.
Mm-hmm.
People who would not have followed us costumes and get intrigued, and then they end up learning something.
So the cosplay, in addition to just being something you enjoy, has actually helped you gain a larger audience and be able to reach out to more people.
Yes, I try to, most of the characters I pick end up having issues similar to mine. I prefer to stick with characters I know and understand. In fact, Banner is releasing one this month that deals with the rage that fuels my PTSD, the helplessness and... y'all just have to see it when it comes.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to try to... it's going to be huge.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a comparison. And this is just for the veteran community. I have a lot of veteran listeners. You know, you get people who criticize you for doing cosplay with Banner. How is that any different from all the unit patches and you know, I've got an American flag and of the Gadsden flag on Skeeter's vest. I've got Navy veteran on his vest. That's just a different form of the same thing. I'm decorating my service dog. How does that make his behavior and his tasks any less professional? It doesn't. It doesn't matter what the dog's wearing. It matters what the dog is doing.
And that's right. You can't throw a professional made vest on any dog and it magically becomes a service dog. But all the training I put into mine, I can work my dog naked and her do exactly what she's supposed to do and not drop a beat.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually funny. I went shopping at a large hobby chain store yesterday, and I had forgotten Skeeter's professionally made vest at home. And all I had was I have a thick 2-inch collar that's got a 2-inch patch that says service dog on it. So I just worked him in the collar. I trained him without a vest. He knows how to work without a vest. He did it most of his working life. I was actually approached less, which seems counterintuitive, than I am when he's in the vest. So I wonder if there's some kind of a subconscious impression out there that if the dog's wearing a vest, then it's a service dog, so it's safe, so I can approach it. Whereas that vest is supposed to be a warning to stay away because that's a service dog. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually a really good point. I hadn't considered it. My car broke down the other day and got towed home, and I had left her gear inside of it. Mm-hmm. And the person who gave me a ride home had to stop somewhere, wanted to get a bite to eat. So I took my car charger and collar as a leash, and she didn't miss a beat the whole night.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I noticed you've been doing some off-leash work with her in public. Tell me about that.
It's been as my mom broke my hands younger, so they can claw up, and I lose my grip.
Mm-hmm.
And I dropped my leash, and I couldn't get it back up. So I just told her to heal, and she stayed with me out to the car. I brought the cart in and pushed it back with the other carts and went right back outside. I really expected one of the grocery store attendants to say something to me over it, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, if I need her to sit certain somewhere so I can maneuver my wheelchair into a better area so I'm not blocking the way, I have a longer wheelchair for my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And I can have her move so I can maneuver myself into a comfortable position and then have her get back with me.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at Walmart on one of the electric wheelchairs. A woman asked her two children to go pet the doggy. And they chased us for two aisles until I told Banner to get under my feet on that little platform underneath the chair.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do my shopping with her between my legs on an electric wheelchair.
Wow. It's so frustrating. I've noticed two trends. One, what just happened to you, where the mom basically sicked the kids on Banner. And the other is where the kids turn around and say, "Mom, that's a service dog. You can't act that way." I usually stop and talk to the kids who recognize what Skeeter is there for. And I usually growl at the parents in the other situation.
I've had less problems with children than grown adults or teenagers. Teenagers have been a problem.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to the movies, and the movie didn't come on for another hour. We were early. So we decided to go to FYE and just browse to kill time. And this flock of them walked in front of me, and the two girl portions of this both cocked their heads to the side like they were dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, "Oh," and reached down her face.
Mm-hmm.
And I smacked their hands. So and they gave me a look. "Well, she's here. We should pet her." I said, "Do you want me to pet you? But it'll be with a fist." I cannot stand Banner's friendly, but she doesn't. I don't think she's comfortable with strangers coming up and just acting familiar. I wouldn't be comfortable with someone acting familiar with me that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But except one time, Will Friedle, the voice actor and actor, Banner went up to him at Wizard World without prompting. and he was close to having an anxiety attack. He didn't take his medicine because it makes him sleepy, and he didn't want to be sleepy during such a big event.
You know, it's funny.
And that's the only time.
It's funny. Sometimes on trips to the VA, Skeeter will pick up on a veteran and look at me for permission, and I'll say, go ahead. And he'll go over there and put his head in the guy's lap. And every single time it's happened, the guy's looked up after 5 or 10 minutes and gone, thank you. I really needed that. You know, he was there, right there, ready to have a panic attack, ready to have an anxiety attack. And Skeeter picks up on it. And that's something I think, in my experience in a lifetime of having dogs, northern breeds are really empathetic, and they really have the ability to pick up on what's going on in your head, and oftentimes preemptively, before you realize you're going that direction. In my experience, Skeeter's alerting. Does that mean I think everybody should use a Malamute? I'm in agreement with you. There are a lot of things to overcome when you're working with a northern breed. A lot. And I wouldn't recommend it. Skeeter listens to one person and one person only. And if I'm not there to tell him what to do, he's a completely different animal.
Banner is very similar. I had to have a shot under X-ray in December. And I had to take a driver with me who also has a service dog. Mm-hmm. And she had to hold Banner while to the operating room to have that done. And when they put me in the recovery area so they could watch me, they said, would you like me to go get your driver and your dog? Yes, please. And they went, and instead of calling my driver's name, they called Banner's name. Banner abandoned girl who was watching her, went through the hallway and found me and called in the hospital bed with me.
It's funny. They know where we are, even if we're four rooms away, and they know when we need them.
And we don't cuddle. I'm not a close, cuddly person. I don't do that. But I kind of needed it that day, and she curled up in my lap, top of my leg, and went to sleep until it was time to go.
Yeah. Usually when Skeeter decides it's time to cuddle, it's because I need that deep pressure therapy. It's not necessarily anything he wants. He picks up on what's going on with me. And there are times when he won't take no for an answer, and I have to really pay attention to what he's trying to tell me.
I love that. I think it's, I don't like appearing weak, feeling like someone can see my weakness. When I have one of my migraines, they are completely debilitating. I am on the floor, I'm throwing up, I'm crying, I'm in so much pain that if I stood up, I would throw up immediately. And I just lay in bed all day, and I take medicine over and over again, trying to make myself feel better. And she gets exercise 3 times a day. She just runs around crazy and plays outside. When I'm like that, I can't do that. But how a dog usually would act would be run through the house and destroy things. She lays against my back the entire day. She does not move.
Yep, Skeeter's the same way. I had a back injury when I was in the Navy, and when I'm having days where I can barely move, he doesn't leave my side. And part of that is he knows I'm in pain, but another part of it is he does have some mobility tasking. When my back is out, he helps me stand and sit and then get back up again. And he knows when my back's bad that he's got to stay within 3 feet of me. I don't have to tell him. And, you know, I just tell him, come over and brace. And together we get me up and moving. And he doesn't bother me to go outside every 2 hours. He just knows. And he chills out and takes care of me, because he knows once I'm back on my feet, I turn right back around and take care of him.
I love how they just, like you said, they just know. And I don't know what I would do without her. I didn't like going to the store. I couldn't do my conventions. And to be honest, it was a heartbreak that I couldn't put myself out there. Or couldn't go to my kid's school function because everyone and their mother is up on you wanting to be tight and let me get a picture of their child. And it's just throttling, that suffocation. I love my freedom now, and I will not lose that.
That's an excellent point, is that, and again, one that I don't think a lot of people really get, is that that PTSD service dog returns your freedom. It returns your independence to you. It allows you, with the dog's help, to do things you couldn't do because of the PTSD. I couldn't make it into a grocery store more than 15 feet without panicking. Well, it doesn't work really well if I'm alone and have to get groceries. With Skeeter, I can make it through a full shopping trip, and if people aren't too intrusive, remember everything I'm there to get.
Yeah, the questions, I made cards and I just hand them out now. Mm-hmm. This is what my dog does. This is the laws. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Stop to talk to everyone, we would never get done.
Oh, it can be very challenging. A 20-minute trip turns into 2 hours because everybody and their brother tries to stop you and talk to you. I determine what I need to do. I give myself a time limit. When I see my time limit starting to go, I start telling people, I'm sorry, we're working. You can't talk to him right now. And I just keep moving. I put blinders on and keep moving. I felt bad the other day, but I had 20 minutes to get groceries done and get back home. And this kid really wanted to ask about Skeeter, but he was too scared to ask me. And I just put the blinders on and just kept going because I had a really strict time. I was in a time crunch. And I felt bad afterwards, but at the same time, you know, Skeeter's not there to entertain anybody. He's there to assist me. And, you know, that's something that's kind of the next phase of education that I'm trying to put out with my page and everything. That service dog is not there to be entertainment. And the disabled person that is the handler is not there to entertain you, educate you, or answer your questions. Many of us will, but we shouldn't have to. You know, it says, don't pet, or please ask to pet on the dog's vest. And, you know, common sense, which unfortunately isn't very common anymore, should dictate that if you see a person going through the grocery store working with their service dog, maybe you should just let them get what they need to do done.
A few years ago, I was taking my kids to see Batman versus Superman, and my youngest child had a potty accident. Mm-hmm. And we had to run to Walmart and grab some fresh pants and let me change her in the bathroom. And so I'm walking with Banner, and I'm holding a 3-year-old under my arm, trying to make it in the store. And this man pushes his cart into me and tries to talk to me about Banner's breeding. He wants to know where I got her, who are the breeders, what line is she. He has all this. I said, I got her from a person in North Georgia. I can't talk right now. And I went around him. Mm-hmm. And behind my back, he said, what a TCH, mm-hmm, to my boyfriend. So because I'm trying to take care of my family, I'm a B word.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that entitlement attitude doesn't just happen with the people with the ESAs that they think they should be able to bring everywhere. Unfortunately, there are people who think that they're entitled to interfere with our daily lives as we're working with our service dog simply because the dog's in the picture. And that's really frustrating, painfully so. And unfortunately, especially in the veteran world, it's going to happen that somebody takes that attitude with the wrong veteran, and they won't walk away from it. And one of the things I'm grateful to Skeeter for is that he doesn't let me get to that point. But there have been a couple times where I really wanted to feed somebody a knuckle sandwich, and if it weren't for my dog, I'd be in a jail cell right now.
I've lost it twice, mm-hmm, since Banner's come. I usually have lost it a lot more, so it is a big improvement. I had a man snatch the leash out of my hand, wow, and say, I want to go outside, and I clocked him in the jaw.
I don't blame you. At that point, I would call that self-defense.
Well, there was a whole bunch of people screaming and yelling, and the man turned out to be illegal, mm-hmm, and he dropped her and ran, because, mm-hmm, she wasn't going to go with him anyway.
Well, yeah.
She'll let my kids walk her here. My younger is training for track, so they run together, mm-hmm, but she's not going to go with a stranger. They're just going to get a look.
Yeah, Yeah, Skeeter's the same. If somebody who's not me takes the leash, he looks at me. And, you know, if it's my girlfriend, I tell him, go with mommy. But, well, again, approachability. Unfortunately, there are some people who think because you're female, they can do things in your presence that they wouldn't do to me as a male. I've never had anybody go so far as to grab the leash. But honestly, I'd probably have had the same reaction you did. And again, at that point, they're basically assaulting your person because what they're doing is trying to take away your assistive medical equipment. I don't think there's a cop in the world who would blame you for knocking that guy in the face. I don't.
Happily, this is a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And the police, everyone knows who I am. And the people usually leave alone here. It's when we go somewhere else that we tend to have a problem. We drove to New Jersey to be on Comic Book Men last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you would not believe the truck stops.
Really?
It was quite intense, but yeah. I do carry a weapon on me at all times. Because I am, like you said, I am female. Mm-hmm. And I know that somebody might try to do something to me that they wouldn't. I'm a bigger female. I look like a lumberjack. I'm big and I'm strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the way some people come at me and assume that I'm going to come quietly with them somewhere to talk. Or if they lay hands on me, it's the end of that.
Yeah.
And I try to be polite as possible and go about my business. I had a time crunch. I had to be there at a certain amount of time, a day early. Difficult when people think you owe them an explanation. I don't like talking about. On my webpage, I'm completely open with my disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
I feel safe that I can talk about it. If somebody doesn't like what I say, I really don't care. But in public, if the person's right in front of me and I don't know them, I really don't want to talk about getting beaten as a child. I don't want to talk about my stepfather crawling in my bed at 11. I don't want to talk about my ex-husband trying to murder me. I don't want to talk about that to somebody because then it makes me look like I'm a victim. And they could take that mentality to somewhere I really don't want it to go.
I absolutely agree with you that we don't, just because we're disabled or we suffer from PTSD does not mean that we are victims in any way. One thing my mom, a piece of inspiration she gave me when everything went down, I broke my back and kind of lost my mind at the same time, was that I could make a decision, I could make a choice to be disabled or differently abled. And, you know, the more I thought about that and the more I examined what my mindset needed to be, the more that made sense to me.
I like how you phrase that. It makes perfect sense with how it should seem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't... The stigma surrounding PTSD, I think, you know, PTSD is a survival mechanism. It's not a mental illness. It's natural. It's the brain's natural response to adverse situations. And I think the stigma that is primarily been brought to PTSD by misrepresentation in the media is something that, as a collective, whether we're service dog handlers or just people who have PTSD, I think we really need to face, and we really need to talk down. We're not crazy. We're not going to snap. You know, we're not all waiting to go Rambo on a small town. That's not what PTSD is. It is a survival mechanism. It is having your fight or flight response center on all the time. And that causes some very serious issues for us. But because we suffer it doesn't mean we're dangerous.
They're treating them like rabid dogs.
Yes, exactly. And that's not what PTSD is like in any way, shape, or form. Well, we've been talking with Coyote Moon, handler of Banner, the superhero service dog. Coyote, where can we find you online?
On Facebook, we are Banner the Super Dog. And on Instagram, Banner the Super Dog.
And where can we find your book?
It's on Lulu.com, and it's called Banner the Super Dog.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for spending some time today with us. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on DV Radio, WDVR.